This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Few would argue with the notion that knowing our past makes for a solid foundation to grow from, and understanding our past is, in part, the driving force behind the Wisconsin History Tour, sharing Wisconsin's stories one community at a time. It's a year-long initiative by the Wisconsin Historical Society, and the tour has landed in La Crosse for the month of November. The History Tour has two major components to it. The first is a traveling exhibit that shares a sampling of state history and stories that the Society has been gathering since its founding in 1846. This exhibit is on display through November 26th at the Weber Center for the Performing Arts in downtown La Crosse. The other part of the tour focuses on bringing authors, genealogists, architects, and storytellers together to present a series of special programs. Those are taking place this week, having kicked off with a timely day-long salute to Wisconsin veterans' history on Veterans Day. Other highlights range from celebrated rural historian Jerry Apps, who shares farm stories, to genealogy workshops, and, not surprisingly, to a couple programs related to the Mississippi River. Wisconsin Historical Society underwater archaeologist Tamara Thompson is among those presenting this week. She talked with WPR's John Gatto about the tour and specifically her presentation on exploring our inland waterways, including remnants of the riverboat, the War Eagle, sitting on a river bottom just outside of La Crosse. She says it's all part of telling our story.
Well, the Wisconsin History Tour is really a greater outreach initiative by the Wisconsin Historical Society to really get some of the great stories that we've collected over the years out into the communities and to work with the local historical societies to help share the local history through speakers and workshops and various events, bringing in book writers to various communities throughout Wisconsin.
How is it that it's furthering the Society's mission? I mean, I guess we think of the Society as being based in Madison and not so much outstate, if you will.
We have a vast collection that's here in Madison. We have museums here, but we also have many historic sites that are out around the state, too. And it's really just kind of connecting all of the dots and gathering stories, too, that we may not know of to be able to share with other people throughout the state.
What does the tour mean to the residents of Wisconsin or to those who participate in the exhibition?
Well, I can share from my experience. I was part of the Ephraim tour and gave a presentation on the local shipwrecks. And we drew in just such a large crowd there. And people had all sorts of stories to share from, like, their maritime past. That's what I do is maritime history specifically. And then when I shared stories that I knew, we got a lot of feedback from people that they just didn't know that part of their history, and they were really, really happy to have had us there to share it.
And I have to believe there's a lot of great stories related to maritime events on the Great Lakes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I spend most of my time actually on the Great Lakes, but it's important to remember that the Great Lakes were part of a greater waterway that connected really all of us here in Wisconsin or the immigration here in Wisconsin back to the East Coast. So it allowed us to get products back to the large eastern cities, and the riverways connected to the lakes and all the way back out to the East Coast.
We think of diving in the Great Lakes. We don't necessarily think of diving for history in the rivers, though.
Well, I think part of the program we're having is there's a diver that's coming in that's going to speak about pearling in the Mississippi River, which I think will be very interesting. I don't know a whole lot about that part of the history, but I know that it was a very, very big industry. And he had written an article for the Wisconsin Magazine of History. So I'm pretty excited to find out about a little bit about that. And then we're talking about the river history as far as shipwrecks that are located in the Mississippi and in various waterways around the state.
Just before we talk about some of the specifics related to the Mississippi River and some of its, the War Eagle and perhaps other sunken ship stories,
sure.
Talk a little bit about the importance, the value of the river to Wisconsin historically, specifically perhaps to the La Crosse area. But what's the significance really of the Mississippi?
The Mississippi River is very significant. Not only does it form our border, but it actually was a pathway to get immigrants here and to get products out of Wisconsin. We see this as early as the fur trade in Wisconsin, and then we can see transport of goods, bringing them down the Mississippi into the Gulf to be transported out of the country into other portions of the world. But we also see, you know, if we think back early to the fur trade days, you think of paddle and portage and people hauling goods up into the Great Lakes, actually, from the Mississippi River, and being able to connect out to the eastern ports that way.
And can you take it a step further back to the Native Americans?
Oh, certainly. You know, the riverways were very important to the natives. In fact, a lot of these passageway or these riverways were taking people from village to village, would allow them to communicate and to share goods. We also know about early Native American trade that happened along the various riverways of the state. And then when we do look to the fur trade and early settler movement, most of those were following Native American routes. And so we see a lot of these same routes used and utilized, and some of the portages used and utilized to bring immigrants to the area and then also to bring goods out.
As an underwater archaeologist, what are you looking for? What do you typically find? I mean, if we're digging in a gravel pit, we find bones and tools and things like that. What do you find in the waterways?
Well, my expertise really is working with the shipwrecks of the state. So I know that our office has done work on inundated fur trade sites and the such, but that was before my time and I wasn't involved with it. So what we look at is we sort of forensically look at these ships on the bottom. Locating them is really the first step. And then we look at the remains that are down there. So have they burned? What's remaining? They really act as a time capsule of items that went down with the ship. So if the ship went down in the 1860s, you'll see things that the passengers or the crew or if it was a ship carrying trade goods into an area, you know, what goods would have been brought into a Western settlement and what a frontier city might have with them.
Tamara Thompson is the Wisconsin Historical Society's underwater archaeologist. She's leading one of several community discussions this week in La Crosse in conjunction with the Wisconsin History Tour, sharing Wisconsin's stories one community at a time, on exhibit through November 26th at the Weber Center in downtown La Crosse. And you're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Being an underwater archaeologist is not something that many of us would aspire to. What led you to this? Is it the interest in history? Is it interest in water?
Well, I sort of come to it in a non-conventional way. Most people that study to be an underwater archaeologist go to school for it. They either go to school for archaeology or they specifically go to school for maritime archaeology. I have a master's in genetics. When I got out of school, I was working for the geology and geophysics department here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I was working in the submerged lead mines in the southwestern part of the state. And because of my work underwater, I was asked to come and volunteer for the Historical Society. So for several years, I volunteered on projects, and eventually they asked me if I would like to work and continue doing some outreach projects with them. And until someone better came along, and either they haven't found anything better or anyone better, or I've kind of been here for 11 years.
So part of your success then is that you're making underwater history accessible and interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's part of my job, really, is to not just go there and look at what's down there, But to be able to share it with people who may not go, either they aren't comfortable on the water, or they don't boat or kayak, or they're not divers. I mean, some of the projects we do are in very, very shallow water, and I get questions like, "Oh, I don't look at these shipwrecks because I'm not a diver, or I don't snorkel, or I don't like the water." Mm-hmm. But a lot of them are very accessible. They either make up the shoreline, they're part of like a retaining wall that's there, or they might be up on a beach, and you'll see these pieces of wood, and you'll say, "Well, I wonder what that is," and it's actually a shipwreck, and it'll have a whole story, a whole history behind it.
Well, then tell us a little bit about the War Eagle.
Sure. It's in the Black River, and it's just upstream from Riverside Park. It's in only about 15 feet of water, and it sank on the 15th of May, 1870, and it was involved in a fire. She had come into port on the night of the 14th of May and dropped off her passengers at the city landing, right, mm-hmm. at the foot of State and Front Street, mm-hmm. and then she proceeded up to the railroad depot. The Milwaukee Road Depot was there on the Black River, and these were really important places for the connection between the railway and the rivers, and so they were going to take on passengers that night, and so they proceeded up and waited for the passengers to come aboard. They came in on the midnight train from Milwaukee, and then they were going to get passage up to St. Paul. And so many of the people got aboard, and the products were loaded, and the freight was loaded, and they went to sleep. But as they were loading some of the freight aboard, it was noticed that one of the barrels of non-explosive petroleum fluid, which is basically a lamp oil, was leaking. And the captain ordered the ship's carpenter to tighten the barrel so that it wouldn't stop leaking. And although it wasn't explosive, it was very flammable. And so while he was fixing the barrel, his lamp fell over and set the ship on fire. Wow. He kicked the barrel overboard, but there had been a barge that was pulled up next to it, and then the barge caught fire. And so they're not certain how many people were aboard the ship when the fire broke out. Unfortunately, the passenger list was lost in the fire, but the War Eagle was lost. Two other steamers that were pulled up to the Milwaukee Road Depot were heavily damaged. The barge was lost as well and sank to the bottom. They think there's some dispute as to the numbers, whether it was five or seven people that were lost in the tragedy. But the War Eagle sank to the bottom and was pretty much left untouched until the 1930s. I think probably because of the damage that also occurred to many of the buildings on the property and the loss of the trains and mm-hmm. and the warehouses and things that they just didn't worry too much about bringing the ship up, and so it was just kind of forgotten about. It wasn't until about 1931 that there was a very low water level in the Mississippi, and then that exposed the upper deck of the War Eagle. And many people went and salvaged some of the items that were aboard. So there was lots of china and silverware and those type of things that went into private collections. So many of the collections, I understand, are on display at the Riverside Museum, and the story can be shared right there.
The locks and the dams, of course, arrived, after that. I mean, initially, that would have been a whole different water scene mm-hmm. than it is today. Today, you stand at Riverside Park, and if you're looking north, you see where the main channel of the Mississippi veers off to the northwest, if you will, and the Black goes off to the kind of to the north-northeast, mm-hmm. And the La Crosse River kind of veers off then to the east as well. But so we're talking about north of that spot in the Black River.
Yes.
And since the locks and the dams have changed the water, what's the status of the War Eagle now? Is it still just below the surface, or what's the story?
Yeah, it's in about 15 feet of water right now.
It is, okay.
We know this because our office was called on around 2000 to take a look at the remains of the war eagle. Actually, the owners of the property were trying to remove some of the pilings that went into the dock there. I believe it's the Standard Oil Company. And it was of some concern as they were removing the pilings that they would do damage to the shipwreck that was in the area, so they were required to hire a diver and someone with archaeological experience to come in and look at the site and make sure that no additional damage to the shipwreck would be caused. So divers from our office went in and took a look at that, and they were able to identify the keel of the War Eagle, and a large section, a little over 100 feet, and then two smaller sections, all in total around just short of 200 feet of ship was determined to be found. Plus, many artifacts still remained there. They found remnants or shards of china, square nails, and other items that were believed to be contributed to the War Eagle. There was unprocessed lead, which the War Eagle supposedly was carrying. And so it was believed that that hull that was there was indeed the War Eagle. And what's interesting is that when the piling was put in, it was actually put in through a piece of the hull of War Eagle. So It was right there.
So it's kind of anchored there for quite a long time.
Yeah. So.
Is it still an accessible artifact for people to take in? The water itself is fairly murky, and I have to believe is fairly difficult even for divers to fully appreciate.
It's not encouraged to go to that particular site just for, diving in the river requires a lot of expertise, but the site is protected, so artifact collecting is not available on that particular on any shipwrecks in the state of Wisconsin. So that's discouraged as well. So like I said, it's a very, very difficult place to dive, and the effort for what you're able to see is probably not the best ratio. Mm-hmm. I would probably suggest to people who are interested in going to visit the site, I'd probably send them to maybe a couple different places where it'll be a little more pleasurable, easier diving, and they'll be able to see a little better.
War Eagle itself.
And not for the War Eagle itself, but I would send them to a different shipwreck if shipwrecks are something that's interesting to them.
Yeah, well, and I was just going to ask, this is one that we hear about, not every day, of course, but are there other shipwrecks that are in this stretch of the Mississippi or its contributing waters?
Oh, certainly. There's quite a few stories of shipwrecks on the Mississippi. Just south of La Crosse, off of Bad Axe Island, there was a fire that took place aboard a steamboat called the JS, which took place on the 25th of June, 1910. There were about 1,000 people aboard on the excursion vessel, and they had left La Crosse. They were heading to Lansing, Iowa, and they detected the fire. Within 2 minutes, the captain had put them ashore next to Bad Axe Island and let everyone off. And really, there were only two casualties because of his quick response. One was a man that they had tied up in the hold. So that's kind of he was intoxicated and very disruptive. And so they had detained him. And then unfortunately, one other man was burned as well. So and that is, the remains of that that ship are only 300 feet from shore. So in the
and how deep?
Yeah. I'm not sure what the depth of the water is there. It's relatively shallow.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. We're talking with Tamara Thompson. She's an underwater archaeologist, in fact, the underwater archaeologist with the Wisconsin Historical Society. On the occasion of the Society's Wisconsin History Tour, Sharing Wisconsin's Stories One Community at a Time, it's on exhibit this month in La Crosse. So the War Eagle is one example. You just mentioned another one off the Bad Axe River area there. You as the diver, you and others will retrieve artifacts and take pictures and all of this, and you take it back to the Historical Society where somebody somehow begins to put together the stories. How does that happen?
We don't do a lot of artifact recovery these days. It was done in the early history of our program, but to come up with long-term storage, like forever, for an artifact tends to be quite expensive. Also, stabilization of articles which have been in the water, especially wooden objects, is quite costly, and preserving them and stabilizing them is just quite an effort. And so our program really works with the National Register of Historic Places office, or the State Register of Historic Places office, at Wisconsin Historical Society. So what we do is we evaluate the sites for listing on the National Register of Historic Places, which provides them a federal level of protection against looting or damage. And then we just, in doing so, we end up doing an in-depth history on the various wrecks. We also are required to do a report on what the site looks like the current condition of it, and give as much detail as we can, detailed measurements and explanation of what the bottom looks like around the site and what artifacts remain present. And then those histories are put up online. We share them through field reports. We also make a concerted effort to get out into the community. We do almost 30 public outreach presentations a winter, trying to share the various stories of the shipwrecks of Wisconsin.
So how many more shipwrecks are there in the Mississippi that still need to be explored?
Well, in the mid-90s, folks that were in our office went through and they did a literature search. So they went through and looked at all of the various newspapers up and down the river to catalog all of the losses. So if someone's boat caught fire, or there was an accident where there was a boiler explosion, or even if it was a mishap and something happened, all of this was cataloged out. And so I can't say for certain how many shipwrecks remain on Wisconsin's side of the river, but we know sort of a number that gets thrown out there is that there are 500 shipwrecks that were lost in the Mississippi River.
So all of the Mississippi.
That's all along the Mississippi. So we know of all Wisconsin shipwrecks that there are 750 historic losses, which is includes the Great Lakes, our side of Lake Michigan, all the way out to the state line, our little portion of Lake Superior, and all of the inland waterways. So the 750 total in losses in Wisconsin. When they went through and cataloged all of these, then they tried to ground truth them. They tried to go out to the places where these reported losses were. And they had difficulty, even with side scan sonar, finding evidence of many of the wrecks. And so either they were salvaged, and a lot of times you see reference to, a ship going down and then having, the boilers or the engines or pieces of the hull removed and reused in other ships. And so there's a lot of work to be done yet to see what actually is there. But there wasn't a whole lot of evidence that there was much left, if there was. The War Eagle is an exception. There's quite a bit left of the War Eagle, as I understand, and many artifacts associated with it. But the other wrecks that are lost in the various sloughs along the river, too, through flood and ice and other movement of the bottom and salvage, there's very little remaining of them.
And with all that fascinating history attracting people, what's the future hold?
We haven't spent an awful lot of time in my recent history with the Historical Society along the Mississippi. And I think it's mostly because of funding. We're 90% grant funded. And so the funding sources for us really do come from University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute, which focuses on Great Lakes resources. Right. And so it's been kind of difficult for us. I mean, the director of the Historical Society actually put out a request to look at Civil War-related related sites. And really, you know, it's very hard to come up with a submerged cultural site that has to do with the Civil War in Wisconsin. So I thought War Eagle. The War Eagle is protected right now. It's it has a determination of eligibility to the National Register of Historic Places, which was done in the 70s. So it's been one of our first shipwrecks that was protected. And but to be able to list that on the National Register would take a full archaeological survey. And so I started looking for funding for that. And the funding sources are very, very are very limited. But I'm still on the case. I'm still trying to find find someone interested in funding that or some organization or foundation. To be able to do a full survey to give the War Eagle what she deserves.
Kind of amazing that that hasn't happened up to this point with something that appears to be a fairly unique relic of the Mississippi.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So and I mean, it does have just a very incidental Civil War history to it, but there is a connection. I mean, she was taking troops from Fort Snelling down to the confluence of the Mississippi and the Ohio rivers mm-hmm. quite frequently, and she did experience one casualty. She was struck by a stray bullet, which hit her smokestack in 1862, and so therefore we can list her in service for the Civil War.
Tamara Thompson is the Wisconsin Historical Society's underwater archaeologist. She's leading one of several community discussions this week in La Crosse in conjunction with the Wisconsin History Tour, sharing Wisconsin's stories one community at a time. It's on exhibit through November 26th at the Weber Center in downtown La Crosse. Links to additional information about the tour and this week's programs in La Crosse can be found on our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Coming up, diversity in our museums. Do our stories and exhibitions accurately reflect the diverse populations and ideas from our past? Chris Taylor from the Minnesota Historical Society shares his thoughts when we continue. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear audio archives of today's show and other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. And if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.